Well, I hope you all had a Merry Christmas. It was just Christmas this last week, and with Christmas being last week, that means that right around the corner, in just a few days, we actually have our New Year, and I know that some of us are probably just waiting, counting down the days for 2020 to end. But alongside with the new year, usually when people are preparing and maybe having a gathering, there's a common thing known as having a New Year's resolution. And maybe some of you have participated and made New Year's resolutions in the past, or maybe some of you are making some or will make some for the new year. But the thing is, with New Year's resolutions, typically people will add things to their calendar, add things to their schedule. For an example, they might say, you know what, this new year, I'm going to be more productive. I'm going to go and get a lot more things done. Or, you know what, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start working out more. You know, I used to work in retail, and they knew that people in the new year were always going to make that as their resolution, so they would always move all the activewear to the front of the store because they're trying to capitalize on the people to buy all this stuff, all the athletic clothes. But the thing is, we just keep adding things in the new year. We keep wanting to say, I'm going to be busier, I'm going to be more motivated, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to be more organized. None of those things are a bad thing. Actually, a lot of those things are good, which is why people are wanting to be resolved in the new year. However, as many are also aware, usually with New Year's resolutions, many have already failed or not kept them within the first month to 2 months. So with us moving into this new year, I want to challenge us and encourage us to have a New Year's resolution, but to be actually resolved in it. And it's not going to be just something that is physical or something that's to build into our calendar. Rather, I want us to make our resolution to draw closer and nearer to God in this new year. I think this is something that every single one of us is capable of doing, to draw closer to God, because this should be your number one priority. This should be your number one resolution every single year. You need to think, all right, last year, this is where I was at spiritually. This is where I was with God. Next year, I want to get even closer. I want to experience Him even greater. I want to love Him and serve Him more. And that's what I want to encourage and challenge us to do today. And so I have entitled this message, A Solitary Place, to look at a text in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And this is a text that's going to describe how Jesus, the Son of God, made God His number one priority. It showed how He used what God had given Him in the world to draw closer and nearer to Him. And I think if Jesus did it, and that He used it and thought it was useful, I think we all then can learn from Him and apply it to our lives as well. So if you'd like to turn with me, it's going to be Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35, and it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He, Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place. And there He prayed." Now, this is a very short, simple verse that many of us could probably read very quickly and kind of understand of what's going on in this text. So we have Jesus, right? He's waking up really, really early in the morning, and then it says that He goes away, and He departs to a solitary place. And now that word that's used to describe solitary place can be translated to be desolate. Or it's also interesting, in the very beginning of the book of Mark, whenever Jesus goes into the wilderness, that is the exact same word that is used here for solitary place. So when Jesus was departing to this location, it's describing the terrain. It's saying that He is going to be set apart. He's going somewhere far away where everyone else is. And he's going to seek solitude, to seek loneliness or quietness. And that's what Jesus does here. But not only is he going to a solitary place, but as I noted, it says that it was a long while before daylight. So think here, this is around 4 a.m. So Jesus is waking up at 4 a.m. All his disciples, all those who were around him the day previous, they're all asleep. They're all in their beds, in their rooms. Jesus, without an alarm clock, is rising up at 4 a.m. And he then is going to travel a great distance to seek a solitary place. Now, I think when we see this, this immediately should tell us this is a priority, right? You don't typically get up early in the morning for something if you don't think that it's important or beneficial, right? But Jesus, he is departing to the solitary place, and he says, I'm going to go way before daylight rises. Before the sun comes up, I am going to rise, and I am going to depart to this place. And I also think it's interesting if you look previous, right before this verse, and see what Jesus was doing the night before, it's even more fascinating. See, right before he rises in the morning around 4 a.m. to go to a solitary place to be by himself and quiet, he was up past sunset for hours, it says, he was healing and casting out demons. So Jesus was literally, he waited till after sunset, after Sabbath sunset, because he was not going to break the law or make them think that he was violating any Sabbath law. He waits till it's sunset, and then he starts to do all of this ministry stuff going on. And then the very next morning, he doesn't neglect going to this solitary place. Now, I think this is important for a couple of reasons. I think, first off, how often can we use the night before as an excuse for the next day? How many times do we show up late to church because something happened the night before? I wasn't preparing the night before, so then whenever I came to church, I wasn't ready. Or I was late for work because of this. See, Jesus makes no excuses. Isn't that so cool to think, though? Jesus was disciplined. He was willing to stay up at night, do ministry, and then the very next morning, he's up again, and he's going forward. So I think this is interesting. This is cool that he would go. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. It says he goes and he heals many, and he casts out these demons. He rises. But the thing is, this isn't the only time that Jesus has ever done this. Actually, there are numerous biblical accounts that we see Jesus seeking solitude. See, if you look just in the first chapter of Mark, you can notice three different times where Jesus was seeking a solitary place. See, as I already noted, whenever Jesus went to be tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he was in a solitary place. We then also see right before he calls his disciples, it says that he was walking by himself along the Sea of Galilee. And then here, after doing a full night's ministry, he rises again. So I think then that we see that this was a primary priority for Jesus, that he viewed this as very, very important for his own spiritual life. But then we also see that it wasn't just a priority, and it wasn't just going to a place, but there was also a purpose. It says in the text, it says, and there he prayed. So now we know why Jesus was going so early in the morning to this solitary place. Jesus was willing to get up at 4 a.m. He was willing to go out, travel many miles potentially to get away from the world because he wanted to pray. Do we view prayer as a priority like Jesus? Are you someone who's getting up at 4 a.m.? And that's hard for me because I am not a morning person. I have the four alarms that are all snoozed. All four alarms are snoozed. And my wife has to constantly say, hey, honey, your alarm's been going off for 15 minutes. We don't like to be up at 4 a.m. going into the wilderness to pray. But this is something that Jesus did repeatedly. He understood that he had to have a disciplined prayer life, because he ultimately knew that it was essential for him to have communion with God the Father. Do we think about our prayer life like that, where we are going to be in communion with God the Father? Because that's what prayer is. Us literally being able to go, to talk to him, to cast our cares on him, to let him know our thoughts, to seek wisdom and guidance from him. That's what prayer is. So when we look to Jesus, when we see him then going to this place with this purpose and showing that he has a priority, Jesus then is modeling how we all, as humans, should live our lives. See, we are disciples of Christ, meaning we are followers of Christ. We want to follow his example. We want to be Christ-like Christians, Christ-like. So if we want to be like Jesus, wouldn't it be something if we started to do what he actually does? Where he takes the time to say, I'm going to be alone for a while. It's a priority. And I'm going to spend time in prayer. See, this is Jesus then modeling this. Because Jesus, I think, understood something about solitude. He understood that whenever you go away, when you depart from the world, that it allows you to think more clearly and it allows you to pray more deeply. I don't think many of us here would not like that concept. Would you like to think more clearly? I mean, I don't think anyone would not want to do that. But you can think more clearly. And also, would you like to pray more deeply? Would you like to really get into the realm of the spiritual through your prayer? To truly encounter the divine in a fellowship? That's what we're able to do when we commit and go out and pray to God. So then not only are we allowed to think more clearly and pray more deeply, but it is eliminating the noise of the world. That's why you're able to do these things. Because in our world, we have so many distractions. And now, not all these distractions are necessarily a bad thing, but there's just so much in our world that's going on. Just think about these things that I wrote down. We have work. We have bills. We have schedules. We have deadlines. We have relationships. We have sporting events. We have entertainment. We have hobbies. We have social media. We have social obligations. We have the news. We have video games. And we have so much more. There is so much in this world that can be so loud. There's so much noise, so many distractions, that it can be very hard to eliminate the voices, to cut out all of the noise. And that's why Jesus needed to depart at times. Think about that. Jesus is the one who we would know for loving people. He was going to people. He was hanging out with the sinners and the tax collectors. He was around all these crowds. But then Jesus is also the same person that regularly would say, I'm going away for a while. I'm going to be alone, and I'm going to go pray. I think Jesus understood that if you continue to be in the world, and if you don't ever depart for a while, you start to look and sound like the world. See, we have a lot of people who are living in the world and of the world, and we see a lot of anxious and confused people. I'll tell you right now, if I see or meet an anxious or confused person, I know that that is a person who has not been spending solitude with God the Father. If you're someone who is anxious, confused, lost, stressed regularly, repeatedly, if you always think everything is going wrong, Are you doing what Jesus is doing? Because here's the thing, I bet you you aren't. Not have you prayed a quick prayer or prayed a couple times. Not have you read your Bible once in a while. Have you committed to finding a solitary place? See, it doesn't have to be in the wilderness. You don't have to go to Giant City Park. You don't have to go find some trees. It could literally be in your backyard. It could be in one of your rooms with the door closed shut. For me personally, I find my solitary place going on walks. So you can find this solitary place anywhere. But the thing is that we have to commit to it. We have to seek after it. Because if we don't, we're going to look like the world. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be confused. You're not going to have clarity. And then it really is going to hinder how you do ministry and how you're able to show and share the gospel with others. Because if you don't have peace, why would a lost person find that attractive? But we have the answer through solitude and fellowship with God. So then we must depart from the world and eliminate the noise. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to put your phone aside? Turn it off. Turn the TV off. Go and be with God the Father. Because see, there's even times for me that I will be in my car, and this is a perfect opportunity for silence, but I have to have my phone playing a video, or I have to have my radio on. I have to hear something. See, we can get very uncomfortable in silence. Likewise, I know many people who do not like to be alone. My wife does not personally like to be alone. She likes me to be with her, which is a very good trait for a wife. It's good that she wants me to be around, right? Probably bad if she didn't want me. But she wants me to be around. But sometimes it's important that we go outside of our comfort zone and say, I need to go and be alone with the Lord. I need to go away right now. And this is what we are called to do when it comes to seeking solitude. But here's the thing. Many people are going to hear this. They're going to hear, okay, we need to go and be in more prayer. We need to find a solitary place. And just like the resolutions, people are going to hear it. They might even do it for maybe a week, a couple weeks, maybe a month. And then we're going to get into February. And there's going to be a majority of people in this room that are no longer going to do it. And here's the thing, you're hearing this right now, that means that you're more accountable than you were yesterday. So this is dangerous. If you don't want to keep hearing me talk, you need to get out of the room. Because I'm going to make you more and more accountable every time I speak. So if I'm saying, hey, hear my voice, go into a solitary place, seek the Lord, pray to Him. You need to hear it, you need to receive it, you need to apply it. Because here's the thing, Jesus is just saying this, He's giving us the example. He's saying, stop. He's saying, slow down, embrace silence. See, this is hard for me at times too because I am a doer. I feel like I need to be constantly going. And there's times even on my off days that me sitting on the couch, I feel guilty. So I end up wanting to go and work or do something. See, that's what the world is. It says, hurry, keep going, be busy, act, react, keep going. But Jesus is saying, sometimes you need to slow down. I want you to stop. Stop what you're doing. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. So are you going to hear that? Are you going to follow the example of Christ? And are we going to seek God with the moments that we have in our lives? Because not only then when we go into this solitary place, when we embrace the silence, we are allowing ourselves to put things into proper perspective. Sometimes whenever the world is hitting us fast and hard, we can get so caught up with our emotions. We can lash out at people. We can say things that hurt people that we know that we shouldn't have said, or do things that we know we shouldn't have done. But whenever we take the moment to think and pray, you gain this clarity. And it's very sobering. Sometimes I'm not even reading scripture, I'm not even saying any specific prayer, but just whenever I'm alone and intentionally making myself available to the Holy Spirit, there's just so much clarity that comes with it. But you have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to go. And then, not only when we do this, but then also remember, as we're in this time, remember God's word and his promises. See, God has given us scripture. He has shown us his love. He reminds us that he sent his son for us to die on the cross, and that he rose from the dead, giving you eternal life and freedom from sin and death. That's something that puts things into perspective. See, when we think about this world, and when we worry about things, you realize majority of the things that we worry about never happen. Majority of the things that we worry and stress about actually never come through. Never actually happen. And the things that we do worry about that actually do occur in our lives, you know that God is able to get you through it. So the things that you worry about that don't happen, they're not going to happen. And the things that do happen, God is able to get you through it. So whenever we go to this solitary place, then we have this clarity, we are put in perspective, and we say, I understand now. And that's why the Apostle Paul is understanding this physical or the temporal time. The suffering that he's going through was nothing compared to the glory that was ahead. That's called proper perspective. So are we thinking clearly in that way? Are we saying, I'm going to remember the promises of God. I'm going to remember what Jesus did for me so that everything else is secondary. I have nothing to worry about. I have nothing to fear. I don't need to be anxious anymore. And for any of these cares that we have, we can turn to the Father, because he is the good shepherd. The Father will guide you and he will lead you. And if you are turning to him, if you let him know what is going on, if you ask him to lead you, you're going to cultivate this peace, and you're going to cultivate wisdom, and you're going to cultivate strength. And that's what we see Jesus doing. Jesus, truly God, but also truly man, and in his humanity, he understood, I need clarity, I need wisdom, I need peace, I need strength from the Father. Because when Jesus went to the wilderness, he went to be with the Father so he could overcome temptation. Whenever he was going to make the decision to decide who his disciples are, he wanted to hear from the Father. Whenever Jesus found out that his cousin John the Baptist died and he was dealing with grief, he went to the Father to deal with his emotions. When he was struggling in the garden, he sent to the Lord and asked for his will to be done. Jesus was given the strength to accomplish the mission of the cross because of his relationship with his Father. So if we value what Christ did, if we think that he was a strong person, we understand then where his strength came from, which was spending time in a solitary place with his Father. Because solitude not only allows us to think and pray more deeply, but it also allows us to better discern the voice of God. Some of you are struggling hearing the voice of God in your life because you're so caught up with all of the distractions of the world. You're letting the noise get in front of God's voice. Because in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, we find something about the voice of God. It says that it's a still, small voice. See, the prophet, Elijah, he was in a cave. He was in the wilderness, a solitary place. And then he was receiving this still, small voice of God. See, God is very clear with his will. It is not hard to discern God's will for your life if you eliminate the noise. If you go get away, like Jesus, like Elijah, you can hear this voice, maybe not audibly, but through your spirit, God will make things clear to you. And I just think this is so powerful. God loves you, and he actually wants to commune with you. If I told you that you had a friend or a family member that says, hey, they really want to get together with you, they really want to see you, they want to spend time with you, that would be a good thing to hear. But I'm telling you that God the Father, the one who created you, the one who loves you, who knows everything about you, he is the divine one, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. He says, I want you to come and spend some time with me. God didn't have to invite us or give Jesus as our example, but he does. And I just think it's so interesting because when we think about solitude, when we think about a solitary place, we think of loneliness. But really, solitude and fellowship are linked together. Because true solitude, not just being alone, because you can be alone and not be in solitude. Likewise, you can be alone and not be in silence. But true solitude is actually fellowship with God. So whenever you are truly in solitude, when you are intentional in your thoughts and your prayer life, you are in a relationship. You are literally in fellowship, just like we're together right now, just like that. You are in the midst. You are in the presence of God. If you are someone who's reading your Bible, you're coming to church, and you're like, is there more to this spiritual life? Is there more? The answer is yes. But you have to go. You got to seek solitude. And you're going to have a new relationship, a deeper relationship with God than you've ever had before. But you have to be willing to do it. Because not only then do we grow in our fellowship with God, but the solitude that we work through will also allow us to have fellowship with one another. See, Jesus was equipped to go and to love and to serve because he spent time with his Father. If you want to better love and serve one another, go be with the Father first. The Father will get you right. And the more you love God, you can't help but loving others. And that's what we then see through the whole life of Jesus Christ, someone who was committed to the Father, who then went out to love others and engage the world. So if you want to draw closer to God this year, if you want to love people better, go to the solitary place. Be committed this year. Don't be that person that I'm talking about that's going to be in this room, that's going to start out great, and by the end of next year when we're talking about resolutions, you forgot even what the sermon was about. So let us go to the solitary place. Let us go to our Father because he loves us and he's waiting for us, and you can find him wherever you go. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to look to your word and to see that you love us, that you make yourself available to us, that you want to talk with us, commune with us. All we have to do is follow your son's example by departing to eliminate the noise, just go to a solitary place to be with you, to hear your words, what you're calling us to do, to equip us with love and service, and that we can lay our burdens, we can give you our thoughts, our cares, we can lay them all at your feet in worship, and you will give us this peace and wisdom and strength that we see in the person of Jesus Christ. So let us now go to you in our solitary places, and let us come back in fellowship and serve and engage the world. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.